This is our final cognitive reflection in media law. So please take a upright seated position. Put your hands in your lap. Start to take a few deep breaths in and out of the nose. Have your eyes closed or looking downwards. And feel the cool air into your nostrils and the warm air exit as you take 3 deep breaths. Our final media law reflection doesn't address a particular area of media law. Instead, it's time to think how you might break up an area of media law as you encounter a situation in your workplace, or if you encounter a certain emotion as you're going about your work and are about to publish something. And it gives you 8 key points to reflect upon as you cut and dice the topic. So imagine this, you're in a situation as a professional communicator. You're about to write a blog. The blog mentions somebody else, perhaps in a bad light in some way. And whenever we feel we're mentioning someone in a bad light or going to a bad place in some way, we do get that emotional feeling, or we start to second guess ourselves, perhaps doubt whether we should go ahead and do this publication. And that's where we need these 8 points of reflection. The first is your understanding of the situation. So how well do you understand what is happening here? What it is that might be triggering your concern, and the media law issues that are arising. So if you're saying something negative about someone, perhaps it's defamation that you need to brush up on. Your understanding can be deepened by returning to your learning resources and looking up that topic area again, learning what the ingredients or the factors are, the elements of the particular action, and then assessing what you're about to publish in line with that. The second thing is your intent. And sometimes you need to pause and breathe through it like we are here and really question your own intention in this situation. Why does this need to be published? Why is it that you're mentioning this individual or choosing this particular material to publish? Only by really exploring our intent might we get to a point where we understand whether the genuine reason is some betterment of society in some way, or whether there perhaps are ego reasons or other self-centered kinds of reasons for wanting to publish something. The third thing is to assess at an ethical level how what you're doing fits with your livelihood or career or professional ethics. Because as we've learned through the course, quite often ethics and law are in alignment. And if that yucky feeling about publishing something comes because of some moral doubt, it could be an unethical action, and there's probably an area of law that applies to that as well. So we need to go back and check that. The fourth is to examine your speech or your form of communication you're using. We know from several areas of the law that there are certain words that shouldn't be used, certain words that cast somebody in a certain light or might impact upon their fair trial, might impact upon their privacy. As we go through each of the areas of media law, quite often it's the words we're using, the form of communication, that needs to be adjusted, amended, deleted. But we really need to take a second look at that to see whether we can get the message across and stay within the law at the same time. The fifth is our actions, because so many areas of media law have actually been to do with our actions rather than our words. If you think of the action of trespass, venturing into someone's property, the action of doing something wrong in the courtroom to do with contempt in the face of the court. These are the sorts of things that where we put our body, our positional placement of our body, the doing of something, perhaps the planting of a surveillance device, perhaps the pressing of record on our phone when the person isn't aware of it. These are actions that arise in situations, but also can trigger those emotions of some moral doubt. And again, it's a trigger to check the law. We need to, the sixth thing is the effort that we're putting into all of this. Of course, there aren't the hours in the day to engage in mindful reflection over every action and word that we do in the life of a professional communicator. But we need to maintain constant vigilance in really carving out the time and putting in the labour into revising these topic areas, reflecting on our actions, and really making it an ardent effort to stay within the bounds of media law. The seventh area is what we're doing now, which is the mindfulness aspect or the reflective element of our work. And it really helps to carve out some time every day to have a few minutes to reflect on both your own life but also your work, how you're going about it and how it sits with your values. For this exercise, we call it cognitive reflection because we're thinking specifically about our media law. But of course, in other contexts, it can be mindfulness-based meditation if it has a broader life purpose. And finally, there's the element, the eighth element is concentration. And really, I can assure you that if you put this into practice, this little eight-step model, then you, over some time, you will be able to perform as the consummate professional, very capable, able, wise, and aware. Because the concentration element is where all of this comes together. And this is the point at which professional communicators are able to make the decisions in media law, know when to turn for advice in media law, and produce work to the highest standard, to the ultimate public interest, within the bounds of media law. I do hope you've enjoyed these reflections and the way they've applied to media law. And this is our final one, so I'll ask you to slowly emerge from the reflection by starting to become aware of noises and things happening in your environment. Start to wriggle those fingers and toes, and in your own good time, take a few final deep breaths and open your eyes and emerge from the reflection. Thank you very much for joining us in this course of Media Law Cognitive Reflections. Good luck to you.